Working Class on DeerCast. We are here. Hunting season is in full swing. The good hunting is, it's here. I was going to say it's to come. No, it's right now.
It's so, getting good.
So if you're on DeerCast.
Cameras are on fire, especially corresponding with DeerCast, actually, from what I'm seeing.
Did you hear my pro tip? By the way, Trevor Schmidt here in the studio. Trevor's been on a lot. You were one of our first guests.
Yep.
And then Trevor's daughter, Hannah, is here. What's up, Hannah?
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You might be the youngest person we've ever had on the podcast. I think that's true.
Yeah, she just turned 15.
Awesome. And you're driving around.
Yep.
That's pretty exciting.
Starting today.
So you always have to drive with dad when you're 15 in Illinois? Or a parent? Or a legal guardian?
They just have to be 21 years or older.
That's dangerous.
No kidding.
Okay, so I was getting to, can you drive yourself to the woods yet?
No.
But we're in, I'm not going to say what county we're in, because we don't need to do that, but nobody would know. But we'll get to that. But Trevor, you've been on in the past.
Yeah, three, four, five times maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe more. So if you're an OG WCB listener, you'll recognize Trevor's voice if you're listening, or recognize maybe... I don't know. You've probably never been on a video podcast ever.
No, I haven't. This is the first time.
So, well, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
And you haven't been in this. You've been here, but have not recorded here at our new place.
I think I put a couple pieces of insulation in the ceiling and the walls, maybe.
Yeah, we did our best to, like, soundproof the room. So thanks for coming to help, Hannah. That was really nice of you. So I know you're busy. So you're 15 years old. How long have you been hunting?
I've been hunting probably since I was 8 years old.
That's 8 years old. So Trevor, because this has kind of been, I don't really know where to start with this. It's kind of been a topic of conversation on the podcast lately, because we all have little kids, and it's like, when they get older, how are we going to introduce them to hunting? Can you push them too far? Should you not push them that hard?
I think you could push them too hard. She was like my little sidekick. I mean, I work quite a bit, so when I was home, she wanted to be with me. So going hunting, going shed hunting, fishing, anything like that, she wanted to be there with me. And then I think that just tailspun into her enjoying being outside hunting.
Just naturally rolled in.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember feeling like, I wish I liked this more, and like committing and going even when you didn't want to go to get a passion for it? Or
No, I've pretty much always had a passion for it and have wanted to go out and go hunting.
Yeah.
Whenever I have the free time to go, I try to go.
Yeah, I know you do a lot of activities and different things and stuff like that. So, but you know, even when it's cold and it's not that fun and you're sitting there, like, you still want to be out there?
Sometimes.
Or when it's 5 a.m. and you got to get up.
Yeah, sometimes I don't want to do that. I like the afternoon hunts better.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, most people do. And I think that, like, the cold, the not so fun conditions and like getting up early is what keeps a lot of kids from going. And do you push her to go, like, when she was younger, even, to get up?
No, I tried not to. I'd go up, like, especially, she started out shotgun season, but I'd go upstairs and tell her it's time to go up. But she's pretty good about getting up with an alarm, and I'd always kind of say, she's like, oh, I'm tired. I said, well, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. No, I'm going to go. And then next thing you know, she'd be downstairs getting dressed. So
see, that's cool. I'm trying to remember back when I was like 10, 11, 12 doing that. It's like, I would want to skip, and then my dad would kind of be like, get up. And then once I'm up, I'm fine. And then you get excited, right? You know, it's like cold and crisp out, and like the thought you could see a big buck. And so your journey into hunting, I think really it is just getting hooked on it.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And I shot a nice 10 pointer in 2015, and it was like, couldn't be more perfect. She wasn't even on the bus yet. Her mom was.
Oh yeah.
I texted her mom. She brought her down. So she was there before it all went down. And I got pictures of her, just a little thing going out there. So it was just perfect. Then she went to school and got to tell all her friends. So.
See, that's cool. That's awesome. And in the area that we're in, that's probably not so uncommon.
Yeah.
Right. Do you feel like, is there a lot of hunters your age or in your school, I guess?
Because
are you a freshman?
Yeah, I'm a freshman.
Okay.
There's not very many hunters in my grade, but there's a couple upperclassmen that hunt really hard. But I'm not sure how many are really in my grade that go out a lot. There's people who shotgun hunt.
Yeah.
But I don't know about bow hunting as much.
What about, you know, the balance between girls and boys that hunt?
There's definitely more boys that hunt at our school than females.
Yeah. Do you know other girls in the whole high school that hunt like you do or are into it?
Yeah, see, there's a couple. Yeah.
See, that's cool. That's more than I thought. A couple even, you know. But our area, considering it's more
rural
areas, which is, we designed our life around. That's why we live out here.
Exactly.
But no, that's good to hear at least. Because if someone were to ask you, Trevor, if you didn't know, it was like, hey, out of that school, how many kids do you think hunt or are passionate about it?
I wouldn't say too many. Just a couple, because by talking to her, it's like, I wouldn't think there's that many at all, other than the one or two that she's told me about.
I had a huge high school, and I'm like one of three kids that hunted, and I was on the one that was like the only one that was serious about it. But that's in the cities.
Yep.
You know, so my perspective, I just am kind of like wired to think that not a lot of kids are doing it, but I didn't grow up in like a rural high school.
Yeah, and I felt like when I was in school, I went to this school, same school district, that there was a lot of kids that went shotgun season. But there was very few like me that went bow hunting. You know what I mean? There was very few of those kids that were after it all the time.
Right. All right, Hannah, so let me ask you this. Is the reason why you like hunting so much at a young age and have, because you got to go get a free pass out of school to go?
Not really.
It helps, though, right?
It definitely helped. But it was more because I always... Before I started shotgun hunting, my family would have a lunch on that Friday, and I wouldn't get to go because I'd have to go to school. So I'd always looked forward to going to that and spending time with them during that time.
Right.
So I just made it even more special for me to get to go.
See, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because like you guys designed in your family like a sense of community that made it, the hunting's fun. It's exciting to see deer, but it was like the culture and the camaraderie and the fun of like a family event almost.
Yeah. They talk about deer all the time. They're comparing bucks.
See, that's fun though. Yeah. It's all friendly competition and just fun. See, that's a really important, and like thinking about that with young kids, it's like we need to make some sort of hunting camp tradition, whether it's at the studio firearm season's a good way to pinpoint a weekend to get your kids into it.
Yeah,
especially without the check-in station like we had in Illinois for years.
Yeah,
that's why I tried to tell her when we were kids, sometimes we wouldn't have a deer, we'd just go there because there were so many people and so many deer, you could see everything.
Yeah,
and they don't get that now.
Yeah, because when I started hunting, I was 9 or 10. And I remember it was like around for 3 or 4 years, the check-in stations, how exciting it was, like waiting in line and all that. And so, you would have no idea about any of it. But what we're thinking about doing is making us an Old Barn Taxidermy drop-off and kind of doing drop-off days. So it's like that way we can plan this day as a drop-off day of the month. And then maybe we could get people together and have like that sense of community after firearm season. We have a big Old Barn drop-off.
Yep.
And
that's what we can kind of have. Idea.
Something like that,
Yeah.
But I almost need to pinpoint a tradition to get my kids more into it, everybody from the working class bow hunter crew's kids into it. And then, you would be a great mentor, like to girls like Isla May is 3 years old and girls older, they look up to you. You might not realize that, but for a lot of guys, a lot of dads that hunt that have daughters, you're a great role model for that, to kind of like see, look, she's doing it, she's a big kid, and look at her, she's an adult, look at her. So there's a lot of power in that, probably more. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not, but
I have not ever thought about that.
I think she would realize it more, like our circle of hunting people, there's not very many kids, I guess.
Yeah,
so she doesn't see it, but with her dance, she does competition dance, and there's younger girls that we see out and about, and they see her and they're constantly right to her, like, oh, I seen you. And I think that's what it would be like with these girls or young kids if they see, you know what I mean? That's one aspect of it,
Yeah, for sure. Because, it's like my daughter, 3 years old, that's a female is going to be a better role model for her in her eyes, right? Yep. It's easier. A guy can, of course, but maybe dad's just going to be the best thing ever. I doubt that though. But, I try to think who's someone that's a girl that started young that hunts that I could have Isla May be influenced by.
Yep.
You're my number one draw right now. So, so it's something to think about, like talking to Mark Drury about how he got Taylor into it, just make it fun. Don't make it not fun. Don't pressure him.
Yep.
And stuff like that. I don't know.
We never had any especially the first couple of years, we never had any restrictions. Just whatever was obviously she.
I mean, now I'm not allowed to shoot any bucks littler than my first one with my gun.
And you killed a really well. You've killed some good deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I love. Yeah, but does that bother you at all?
Well, I'm not seeing anything, and a spike comes out, I really want to shoot it. But other than that, no.
Yeah. Do you? I mean, you get why, right? I mean, yeah. And you have that wrapped around, but. Let's talk about some of your hunts. I mean, you killed a really good buck and won some awards at Illinois Deer and Beer Fest, yep. Which was cool.
When I was 11, maybe?
You were 11 when you shot that deer?
I think she was.
I'm pretty sure I was 11. It was shotgun morning, and I had, earlier that morning, I had missed a buck. And then
you can lie about that part. You don't have to add that part in your story.
I went back out and I sat and we were just sitting and I wasn't paying attention. I always point out deer. I'm like, there's a buck. There's a buck. So whenever there actually is one, he never believes me.
Oh, really?
So finally I got
him. The dirty prank.
Yeah.
I got him to believe me and I shot it and it just dropped right there. Uh-huh. And he ran out of the stand and people were texting him saying, did you guys get one? I just saw orange flash down the stairs. And that was just, I don't know, something I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you that was a blast.
Yeah, it was.
How was that for you,
it
Dad?
It was awesome. Actually, the person that was hunting down from us heard me scream inside the stand blind because I was pretty pumped. Especially, he was like 300 yards out chasing a doe. And
we called him.
She's like,
back
well,
in.
Get your grunt call. Get your grunt call. And I'm like, oh,
that never works, yeah, Hannah.
I'm fumbling around and I end up getting him to stop. And he didn't, he just started walking towards the doe. And I snort wheezed. And he came running from at that point 250 to 30 yards.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like that would have never worked if it was just me. But
meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
So that adds to the story, too. Yeah. Like you got to see like that whole interaction and stuff, yeah, at 11. That's, yeah, a good buck, too.
Yeah, it's mid gross, mid 130s.
Yeah, that's your first buck?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Want to see my first buck right there above that camera?
Yeah. Yeah.
First buck with a muzzle loader. I was 14, yep, I think. So, yeah, it did me. Yeah, I did a lot of kids with that one. But that's cool. Like, do you feel like that helped? Like, do you feel like it, whether it's a bigger buck or a smaller buck, it would have done anything different for you?
No, it would not have mattered to me. I would have been happy either way. My great-grandpa was still here with us then, mm-hmm, so I really wanted to shoot something for him to see.
Yeah.
So it just made me happy because he's the reason that I have a passion for hunting, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, I wanted him to see. And
that's
then it
awesome.
Made me even more happy.
Yeah, see, that's cool because I know your guys' grandfather,
yep,
your great-grandfather is like big in your guys' lives, but that's cool like that lineage, you know, yep, that,
yeah,
comes down. And it's even cooler. I think it's cooler when a girl does things that typically a guy does.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually caped that deer out, and my grandpa was on bed rest at that time, but we caped him out, took him right in the living room with the cape so my grandpa could see him.
Did
he
really?
Happier than I'll get out.
Oh, I bet he was. See, that's cool, man. Just like that whole, just seeing the tradition of hunting and like that culture being, yep, so strong. And that's like one thing, you know, I tried to include like Isle of Man Clyde with my dad would shoot a deer and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's the bummer looking at it now. I was like, they're not going to have the hunting grandpa growing up with, but they got a lot of stories to hear about, you know.
Exactly. There's plenty of memories. That's,
yeah,
that's the,
yeah,
that's almost just as good. I mean, it's not, obviously it's not, but
it's what you have.
Especially you can tell your kids the things that happened.
For sure.
And it's,
yeah,
pretty amazing.
Kind of for them, and it will become like, I don't want to say folklore because that's not what it
the
is.
A saga.
It's a saga, yeah. But it's just real life family, yep, tradition that you make. But do you feel, Hannah, that hunting creates a different type of like strength of a memory or like an experience than like some of the other activities you do?
Yes, I do. The hunting gives me a different aspect on things that, mm-hmm, like other people don't understand why I like hunting so much,
mm-hmm,
but it's what I've grown up around, and I don't know how to explain it.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Especially to someone who doesn't hunt.
Yeah.
Like what it can mean to you,
yeah,
and like what a deer can mean to you, because it's the effort.
Yep.
It's,
yeah,
being uncomfortable. It's cold. You got up early.
Yeah.
Your dad's yelling at you. I mean, I don't know if he yells at you, but
I get yelled at a lot for talking too much or pointing my finger out the stand.
From excitement?
Yeah.
There's a deer. It's, yeah, like, well, yeah, there was a deer.
100%.
Yeah, I get that. See, I thought about taking Isle of May out in a blind And, but it was going to be like, we got 45 minutes before dark.
Yep.
Have Sam just like drive the Ranger out and drop us off at the blind and then come us.
It'd be worth it. You'd be never forget it.
I need to do it, and I probably will here because it's supposed to be kind of warm.
Yep.
But it'll be funny. I know the time I do, there'll be like a 180 walk out. I'm like,
yep. So last year was her first year with her compound. Uh-huh. She'd taken her crossbow out. She stuck a doe
perfectly.
We actually got it on video, and
no kidding.
We never did recover that deer. I don't know.
Oh, really?
How we did not, I don't know. But
yeah,
just one of those things, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, stuff happens.
Last year was her first year, and Dad screwed it up for her. Had like a mid 150s buck at like 18 yards, perfectly broadside, and I took my bow just in case.
Uh-huh.
And she got stood up, release clipped on, and my bow's hanging right where he's broadside.
Oh.
So I got the brunt of that for the last year.
And then he got hit by a car that winter. So now I have no shot.
Way to go, Trevor. Dad.
Yep.
Oh, man. But that's also, that adds into what makes it so cool when it does work out, because it almost never does. It feels like, you know. But great experience.
Yeah.
You know?
And he came
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he came. And I told her, we were sitting over CRP, and I said, we had spikes, and she was trying to, I mean, she was going to shoot whatever came by, but she's like, I heard grunting, and I was like, there's another deer. And we had a big deer we were hunting. She named him Gilbert. She's like, Dad, is that Gilbert? And she's shaking, and I'm like, oh my God, is it him? Because I can't see him. And then he stepped out. I was like, it's still a really nice deer. You better get ready. And then Dad ruined it.
Oh, your dang bow.
Yeah.
But the time you don't bring it, you would have wished you had it for whatever reason, but... Well, that's cool, though. That's a good experience. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of bow hunting ahead of you. You're going to kill a lot of big deer.
Just, I hope so.
It feels impossible, probably, because with bow hunting, I always use this analogy growing up. It's like, you got this bow, and then the animal's way over there. Like, it seems impossible. But you'll learn things as you get more experience, and you're going to kill big deer, and if you stay at it, you'll kill a lot of them. So don't stress out about that. You'll get your opportunities. I still stress out about it, though, because I like to shoot them. But, you'll always stress out about it, but it'll just get easier to stress out about it. It'll be more fun stress, and it's probably not actually stressful for you. You know, we're kind of being sarcastic, but you got a lot of hunting, so you're going to kill some big deer.
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you like deer meat a lot?
Yeah. I like summer sausage more than anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually I cook backstrap, and she's all over it. Her mom, not so much, but she's scarfs it down.
See, I think with kids and no offense to the ladies, but typically with the ladies, if we're going percentages, they don't really like, I like medium rare for deer meat. That's how it tastes the best. I think it's a mental thing.
I think so too.
You know, and
Kelsey would never, she was always like, I'm not going to eat that. But like I say, I cook backstrap for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let me get just a little taste. And then she's slowly acquired a taste for it, and she likes it, but she'll say she doesn't. But as soon as it's on the grill, she likes it.
It's like, no, you don't like this, remember?
Just about like morel mushrooms, since they say they don't like them until they're there.
Yeah. You don't like morels?
No, I
really?
Do not. I like hunting for them, but I don't like eating them.
Really? See, I'm backwards now. Like, I'd rather do other things. Like, I like mushroom hunting, but I'd rather just have somebody else find them than I get to eat. You know, so maybe we could work out some sort of like wager. If you don't like to eat them, but you like to find them. We got to talk after this. Just don't tell Dad. We'll work out some sort of like gas money deal when you start driving for mushrooms. That could be good. You like turkey hunting?
Yes, I do like turkey hunting.
We like more turkey or deer hunting? Ooh, you had to think about it.
Yeah. Probably deer hunting, but I really like turkey hunting.
Let me guess. Weather's nicer.
Well, yeah, that too. The only bad part about turkey hunting is there's no afternoon hunt. You can only go in the morning.
Just in Illinois.
Just in Illinois.
Well, there's some other states, but 1 o'clock, I think, for us.
We went to Kansas 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, you guys went with Prairie Storm, right?
We went out there, and that was our only evening turkey hunt ever, one evening for about 2 hours, and she killed a nice tom.
Yep. And he also missed one on that trip.
You missed one?
Yeah. No, I hit it, but I just nicked it.
It was a graze.
Yeah, it was a graze.
So you got a Rio and an Eastern.
Yep.
Well, dang, you're working down a turkey slam.
Yep.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
So what's next? You want to do like a Merriam turkey?
Yeah.
The Dakotas?
Yep. Well... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got some ins on a place in Nebraska with some Merriam, so we're we're kind of just working that out right now.
Yep.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
The Buckstorm boys too.
I messaged them too last year. So
yeah, and then Florida.
Florida. She likes Florida anyways. So
yep.
Well, save Florida for last so you can spoil yourself with like fair weather on your last one. See, I need a Merriam and a Osceola.
Osceola.
Yeah, yep. I don't know why I drew a blank there.
I was thinking oscillated, but that's in Mexico.
Mexico. See, that's that'd be a fun trip as well. Is that on your radar too?
Yeah, it would be really cool and like a once in a lifetime sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be something you do once and you got it done.
Yeah.
So did like turkeys become interesting to you before you shot one, or did you shoot a turkey and then it like that interest in the other subspecies become it?
I really wanted to shoot a turkey. I thought they were really cool and they're really funny animals. But once I shot one, I wanted to go more.
Yeah. It's more interactive. The calling's cool.
Yeah. And you can like see them with their gobbler thing. It might get moving.
Did you deer hunt or turkey hunt first?
Deer hunt.
You did? See, I always wondered too, like, is turkey hunting a way to start? No. You know?
I've still never killed a turkey, but she was always wanted to kill a turkey before. We'd see turkeys and I'd get trail camera pictures like 30 turkeys.
It's a turkey.
These stupid turkeys need to leave. And it's like, I want to shoot a turkey. Then her first turkey that she killed, it was like from the time we left the truck, they were gobbling on the roost to the time we sat down, they never stopped. And it was just one of those mornings that if you were going to get into turkey hunting, it was the morning
the
to
one.
Do it. And that she just experienced it all that morning. So kind of hooked her, I think.
That's
that.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's it perfect. Is.
It is cool. And I always said like my interest, like my passion for turkey hunting would fade and I'd have to go again for it to reignite. But I feel like the last couple of years, I only shotgun hunted them last year and loved it. I killed a couple birds. And once you get in them and it's like, I don't know, like Mark and everybody at the jury say, turkeys are meant to be shot in the shotgun. I think that's true. You know, I debated that for a while. I'm like, nah, you're right. They're meant to be shot in the shotgun. Well, what advice did you have for anybody growing up, you know, your age in high school that wants to get into it or coming up, like, you know, how to stay into it or how to find an interest in it? And maybe you don't know. Maybe that's hard because you're kind of in the middle of it all right now. But
don't push yourself to do it. And don't, if people have stuff negative to say about it, don't listen to them and just keep your mind clear and do your own thing, because at the end of the day, their opinions shouldn't matter to you.
Mm-hmm.
And try to find, if it might not be your thing, try it once and see if it is. And if it's not, you never have to go again. But try something new and like go out of your comfort zone. And a good way to try to like get interested in it is put up a trail camera. And then if you see like a big buck and it really gets you motivated sometimes to want to go out and want to try to shoot them.
That's really great advice.
It is.
The trail camera could be the way to dabble.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
I never even thought about that. That's really good advice.
Especially a cell cam. I mean, really, there it is.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything. Yeah, that's really good advice, actually, to get somebody into it. And that maybe they just become a trail cam connoisseur, but I think that would roll in. Really good advice. I never even thought about that. Yep. If somebody that wants to get into hunting, start with a trail cam.
Yeah. I think I've never.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really good advice, especially for someone that might not have a lot of money and just wants to see if they'd be interested. $30 camera from Walmart, whatever you can get into.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they have $20 cameras at Walmart.
Yep. Go check. Heck, you can get a card reader and check it right on your phone.
Yeah. Great advice. Well, awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have to do this again. Best of luck to you this fall.
Thank you.
I hope you kill a bigger one than Dad.
Me too.
And then we'll come in and we'll do a whole other podcast talking about how you're a better hunter than your own mentor.
Yep.
I hope so.
Want to plug anything? Got any shout outs? You want to plug your TikTok?
No.
Okay. You had the floor. I gave you the opportunity. Trevor, you want to plug your TikTok?
No, it's pretty weak. Other than hers.
Do you do any dances on TikTok, Trevor?
On her TikTok.
On hers? Yeah, probably. There's probably a bunch of candid ones.
Yeah, there's 100% candid ones.
You're viral. You don't even know it. You're famous with like 12 and 14-year-olds all over the place.
Unfortunately, I am.
Is that true?
Yeah, my friends love him. And I think he's the funniest person ever. And his TikToks get the most likes.
I got to find her TikTok just to send blackmail you.
It is. Yeah. It is what it is.
Okay. Don't put dead animals on your TikTok. You get banned.
Yeah.
She has already. She's like, I know, thanks. All right. Well, no shout outs?
Nope.
You don't want a shout out?
Not even me? Jeez.
Oh, man, it's tough out here. Not even mom?
She does a lot for me, but I don't know.
Okay. No boys at school? Nothing? No. Just like, cut it now. Cut it now. Trev, you got anything?
No, I'm just thankful that she's the kid that she is, and she's open-minded about everything.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. Yep. You gotta be pretty dang proud.
I am very proud. I tell her all the time.
Well, I'll be using you as a mentor to my daughter. If she may be interested, she may not. Either way, all you can do is try, and it's cool whether she is or not. But this was fun. I think you got the record for youngest person on a Working Class Bowhunter podcast. I'm pretty sure. If I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry, but I think you're the youngest big buck killer. How's that?
Perfect.
Either way. All right, everyone. I learned some stuff on this. Maybe something that I have or have not thought about before with kids. It's kind of a tricky thing. What do you do? You know what to do? Go shoot a giant. Good luck this fall. Later.